Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome again to another Holy Half Hour on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, local parish minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Welcome to 30 minutes of profound patter, moving music and inspiring insights. Tonight's theme is creation, so let's get the show off to a big bang. Let's see how it evolves from there, and maybe come to the conclusion that God had something to do with it in the beginning. Seriously though, listen to the majestic opening words of the Bible. You can hear a fanfare of trumpets in the background, and then Genesis chapter 1 at verse 1. In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate. The raging ocean that covered everything was engulfed in total darkness, and the Spirit of God was moving over the water. Then God commanded, "Let there be light," and light appeared. God was pleased with what he saw. Then he separated the light from the darkness, and he named the light day and the darkness night. Evening passed and morning came. That was the first day. Wow, think about it. Use your imagination. The first day ever. The more we think about creation, the more wonderful it gets. Consider this, God could so easily have not bothered, especially when he could see the future and how things would unfold. But he did go ahead in spite of everything. What a vote of confidence that is. Not confidence in his creatures, but confidence in his own ability to redeem messes and to make all things work together for good in the end. Leibniz, the great philosopher, thought that God must have weighed up all the pros and cons of creating this world before finally deciding, on balance, to go ahead. Leibniz says that God must have considered other possible options too before picking the best of all options. So Leibniz concludes that this world must be the best of all possible worlds. No, wait before you dismiss that. You haven't seen what the other options look like. And more to the point, you don't yet know the end from the beginning of this world. We can't judge till we have all the evidence. Well, that is unless your name is Louis Armstrong. Then you can trumpet the fact what a wonderful world it truly is. Well, here's another version of that song sung by Eva Cassidy.
I see trees that are green, red roses too. I watch them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I hear they'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, oh, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of the people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do, but then
what a wonderful world this really is. Think of all the glories of nature, the sights, the sounds, the smells, the weird and wacky shapes and sizes. Think of giraffes and camels and hippopotami and kangaroo and dash hounds. We have a pet sausage dog called Dougie. And what about cows? They're funny creatures too. I saw a coo upon a hull. No, I looked again, it was a bull. Come on, Daisy, shake and shudder, 'cause one good churn deserves another. And while we're in a silly cow mood, listen to this humorous celebration of God's sense of humour in creating the lot of us. 7 hard days. In the beginning, it was very, very dark. So God spoke, and when he spoke, he said, I can't see a thing, let's have some light on the matter. So there was light, and there was darkness too, just for contrast. God looked at the light. A good day's work, said God, and that was the end of the first day. On the second day, God thought he'd do something about the plumbing. There was water everywhere. So God had a brainwave. I'll make some dry land, said God, and so he did. He said, shoo to the waters, and they shooed. Some became seas, some became clouds, some became puddles. Not bad for a beginner, said God, and that was the end of the second day. On the third day, God thought he'd make the earth look beautiful. So he winked at the earth, and the earth winked at him. And out came shoots, and out of the shoots came flowers and corn and trees. God made jaggy nettles and stingy nettles. He made roses that smell like bath salts, and lupins that have no smell at all. He made trees with apples in them, which would fall to the ground and help thinkers to have deep thoughts. He made trees with smooth barks, so that Joseph could write how he loved Mary. And when God saw all this loveliness, he smiled a happy smile. "Time for bed," said God, and that was the end of the third day. On the fourth day, God thought he'd do something about the lighting. He needed lights to come on and to help the plants grow, but he also needed lights to go off and help the plants sleep. So he made the sun make white people brown and brown people beautiful. He made the moon to give cats something to sing at. And he made lots of wee fairy lights called stars, and he switched them off and on, off and on. "This is good fun," said God, and that was the end of the fourth day. On the fifth day, God decided he'd have a bit more action. So he said to the waters, "You're going to have a moving experience." And he filled the seas with fishes, wiggly octopuses and jellyfish, hoping to find a use for them one day. And he said to the sky, "You're going to have a moving experience." And in a minute it was filled with wings, eagles and swans and sparrows, and the odd elephant which didn't know what its ears were for. "I'm some boy when it comes to getting things to work," said God, and that was the end of the fifth day. On the sixth day, God looked at creation. The birds sang for him, the fish swam for him, the trees waved at him in the wind. "Time we had some life on earth," said God, and so it started. He made creepy crawlies to curl up inside lettuces. He made wiggly snakes to lie underneath rocks. He made chimpanzees that would drink tea on television one day. He made animals with long necks and paisley patterned pyjamas so that they could see where the balls went if they ever played golf. And they all jumped and romped and scrambled over the earth. It was like a circus without a ringmaster. "Wait a minute," said God. "Who's going to take charge of all this? Who is going to pull out the weeds, smell the roses, tell the chimpanzees to behave themselves?" Then God had another brainwave. "I'll make man," said God. "No, I won't. That would be sexist. I'll make woman and man." So God made woman and men, big and small, black and brown, bald and curly, long-nosed and short-nosed, with and without freckles. And then God said, "Just for fun, I'll dare them to get on with each other." God looked around, then sat down. He was very happy with all he saw. He was also very tired. So he went to bed, and that was the end of the sixth day. And he slept and slept right through the seventh day. "Creation fairly takes it out of you," said God.
Vision was given to us all, to smell the rose's fragrance, to hear the songbird call, to watch the distant moonlight fill the coming of the tides, to understand that life is more than always choosing sides. What can be seen of sailing ships and kings? And some are given feet of clay, some are given wings. Some must struggle just to breathe, some have a golden spoon, and some will never leave the nest, while some walk on the moon. Lives within the silent hills is just as rich and beautiful and just as unfulfilled as man with all his intellect, his reason and his choice. Oh, who's to say the nightingale has any less of all? Silver dolphins twist and dance and sing to one another. The cosmic ocean knows no bounds for all the brothers, the whippoorwill, the grizzly bear, the elephant, the whale, all children of the universe, all weavers of the tale. The hawk flies with the morning dove, the lion with the sheep. As far away as you may go, we'll never be apart. It's in your dreams that you will know the seasons of the heart.
Today is the very first day for every newborn baby. Did you know that 3 babies are born every second? Did you know that there are 86,400 seconds in a day? So that means 3 times 86,400 babies will be born today, which amounts to 259,200 babies. And today is their very first day ever. Wow. Listen to this moving account of the birth of a baby. Once upon a time, in the beginning, a labour of love was undertaken. It started with a sign to show that something was about to happen. Light came forth from the deep darkness, bright, clear, and unmistakable, and it was very good. At the second time, the waters were broken. At first they gushed. Then they dried to a trickle, and space was created. It was exactly the right size. By now the creation was well underway, and it was very good. At the third time a cradle was made ready. It was comfortable and beautiful and waiting, and food was prepared, issuing sweetly and warmly and in precisely the right measure from the being of the labourer, and it was very good. At the fourth time rhythm was established, ebbing and flowing, contracting and expanding, pain and joy, sun and moon beginning and ending, the labour of love progressed, and it was very good. At the fifth time there was a ceaseless activity, fluttering like the wings of the dove, humming like the murmur of the dragonfly, swimming like the darting golden fish, wriggling like the lithe serpent, leaping like the flashing deer, surging like the mighty lion, and it was very good. At the sixth time there was a momentary endless hesitation. Then a child was born, and the child looked just like the one who had given it life. The child too was born with the power to create and to make decisions and to love. The labourer looked at all that had been accomplished and rejoiced, for it was very good. At the seventh time the labour was finished, the task was complete, and the labourer rested, for she was very, very tired. Here's Anne Murray singing for Baby.
I'll walk in the rain by your side. I'll cling to the warmth of your tiny hand. I'll do anything to help you understand. I love you more than anybody can. And the wind will whisper your name to me. Little birds will sing along in time. The leaves will bow down when you walk by, and morning bells will chime. I'll be there when you're feeling down, to kiss away the tears if you cry. I'll share with you all the happiness I found, a reflection of the love in your eyes.
Creation is such a lovely thing. It is God saying yes to life. It's God's gift of life to each and all of us. We stand in awe and wonder and reverential silence at the birth of a newborn baby, at the dawn of a new day, at puppies and kittens, at the unmerited blessing of creation, at God's goodness and grace toward us. All of that is on the one hand. Then we go and spoil it all. Polluting, destroying, killing. Here's another anonymous writing entitled Creation in Reverse. In the end, man destroyed the heaven that had been called earth, for the earth had been beautiful and happy until the destructive spirit of man moved upon it. This was the seventh day before the end. For man said, "Let me have power in the earth," and he saw that power seemed good, and he called those who sought power great leaders, and those who sought only to serve others and bring reconciliation, weaklings, compromisers, appeasers. This was the sixth day before the end. And man said, "Let there be a division among all peoples, and divide the nations that are for me from the nations that are against me." This was the fifth day before the end. And man said, "Let us gather our resources in one place and create more instruments of power to defend ourselves. The radio to control men's minds, conscription to control their bodies, uniforms and symbols of power to win people's souls." This was the fourth day before the end. And man said, "Let there be censorship to divide propaganda from the truth." And he made two great censorship bureaus to control the thoughts of people, one to tell only the truth he wishes known at home and one to tell only the truth he wishes known abroad. This was the third day before the end. And man said, "Let us create weapons which can destroy vast numbers, even millions and hundreds of millions at a distance." So he perfected germ warfare and deadly underwater arsenals, guided missiles, great fleets of warplanes, and destructive power to the extent of millions of tons of TNT. This was the second day before the end. And man said, "Let us make God in our image. Let us say God does as we do, thinks as we think, wills as we will, and kills as we kill." So man found ways to kill with atomic power and dust, even those as yet unborn. And he said, "This is necessary. There is no alternative. This is God's will." And on the last day, there was a great noise upon the face of the earth, and man and all his doings were no more, and the ravished earth rested. This is Across the Lines by Tracy Chapman.
For your lives tonight, the riots begin. Back streets of America, they kill the dream of America. Little black girl gets assaulted, no one know her name. Lots of people hurt and angry, she's the one to blame. Across the lines, who would dare to go under the bridge, over the tracks that separates whites from blacks? Choose sides, run for your lives. Tonight the riots begin. On the back streets of America, they kill the dream of America.
Yes, humans can muck up God's wonderful creation, but not forever and not for long. The Creator in the beginning has had to see his creation spoiled, but he's not one to be beaten. God can recreate like the potter on the wheel. God can turn things around. God can redeem situations. God has redeemed the world, and he promises that all things work together for good to those who love him. So let's finish with a song by John Denver, which says that human beings are privileged to be able to co-create with God and with each other. But this is an awesome responsibility as well as a privilege, and sometimes we get it wrong and we create havoc. Both God and ourselves find that things don't always work the first time, so sometimes we have to go back to the drawing board, or in this case, put the clay back on the potter's wheel and start again. Anyway, have a nice week, create a little happiness somewhere, with God's help, of course, and tune in again to 3TFM, same time next week.
They've seen the wars that hurt the hunger. How will they choose when they are grown? What do you tell forever's children when it's their turn to hurt and heal? Whatever spins a grim tornado can also turn potter's wheel. Take a little clay, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Get a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in. Tell with your life a bloody story, teach to their dreams not burning. It's not in bombs where lies the glory, but in what's shattered on the field. The potter's wheel takes love and caring, skill and patience, fast and slow. The works it makes are easily broken once they survive the potter's throw. Take a little clay, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in. someday some children will be digging in some long forgotten ground, and they'll find our civilization, or what's left of it to be found. They'll find the weapons of destruction, but buried deeper in the hole. They'll find a message and a promise in the sand, the potter's bowl. Take a little blade, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel.